Hello, this is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council debriefing, where the storm has a name. Once again, we are your hosts, Lehman, Jay, and Mark, and today we will be talking about the Tharkold Cosm cards. We will be doing part one, which includes cards 1 through 10. We don't have any emails to go over today, but we do encourage you to write in at torgdcd@gmail.com. If you send us your email, we'll read it. If you have any questions, we'll try to answer those questions. If you have any comments, we'll read the email and we'll probably comment about the comments, etc. So, having said that, let's go ahead and jump into the Tharkold Cosm cards. Number one, looks like trouble. Hostile characters or creatures head your way looking for trouble. They might be thralls, raiders, or horrific aberrations. All Storm Knights gain 1 to 3 possibilities once the enemies are dealt with, depending on the strength of the foes. Jay, looks like trouble.
Well, here's our dino attack of the set. Same things apply to most, that we've talked about. The big thing, it says that they're coming looking for trouble. Doesn't necessarily have to turn into a massive combat. It might be the kind of thing where they're roughing some other people up and maybe the characters can intimidate them away, but that would probably just be one possibility. You know, it's kind of up to you. Thing I like doing for this is actually coming across like a synth cycler, busting through neighborhoods and like smashing somebody's house or eating their car, and then, you know, thinking that the Storm Knights are a threat to it and so starts blasting. But Tharkold has lots of crazy threats you can use, so it can probably be almost anything.
Mark, your thoughts, if anything, different for looks like trouble than dino attack?
Dino attack fits real well with abominations. It's especially if you're in the blasted land, mutate anything. I'm running giant ants in Tharkold. Mutate bears, mutate anything you want that's regional to wherever you happen to be. That works great. If you're on the open road, my favorite thing to do with this, especially in a pinch when I don't have anything prepared, or I've got to pick it up in a hurry, is a vehicle's loaded up with, you know, anything you want, thralls, whatever,
spikes,
yeah, lots of spikes. And they're coming and they don't just drive up guns ablazing to try and take all your stuff. They could just block the road and demand some form of tribute, and if you want to just give them sufficient, you know, amount, dollar amount, whatever cost of stuff, they'll let you on through. So, it doesn't have to be a fight. They're looking for trouble. That doesn't mean they have to find it, right? And if you want to give them the option of fight your way out, talk your way out, you know, if you got a group that has a bunch of negotiating skills and the face wants to shine for a little bit, let him come up and intimidate them or persuade them, right? And you know, talk them down into a bunch of you know, we wanted 500 value, but we'll take 250, whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be a fight.
Yeah, so dino attack that you could maybe parlay.
Yeah, absolutely. So these dinosaurs will talk.
Let's move on to Tharkold Cosm card number 2, Supremacy. Play against a reality-rated foe. For the rest of the scene, your attacks against him add 1 BD. Plus 1 BD. The effect ends if the foe manages to successfully use intimidation against your character. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Supremacy?
Oh, this is a very good card. Considering you control when you play it, you're obviously going to play it right before you make an attack or after you see an attack hits, right? So you're going to at least get that 1 BD no matter what. And then, depending on your character, sure, you might get intimidated pretty easily. And a lot of Tharkold threats do have intimidate. But often, I would probably personally be saving this for the dramatic scene at the end or like whatever the final boss battle might be. And oftentimes, even if characters, unless they have... not Gloater,
Insidious?
No, that's Taunt. Insidious, I think. Unless they have that, they can't really afford to be intimidating you. At least not just intimidating you. So odds are you're going to get to completely wrecked by that is fairly slim. But it is, especially if you have an opponent fails, I probably wouldn't waste it on that though, to be honest. So I just think this is a good one. The downside, it is possible, but it doesn't really hurt you any. You just stop getting an extra coup de grace every turn, basically. So yeah, really good.
Mark, your thoughts on Supremacy?
If you play this, be ready to repel firepower of that magnitude because you're getting it. You have played the, it's like playing the Nemesis card, only you don't get three possibilities. You get a bunch of BD every time you attack the big bad, and if you're not going to be the one that's shooting, causing damage, psionically blasting, casting spells, however you do it, that you probably shouldn't play this because that's the only benefit that this card gives you is added damage. And as Jay pointed out, playing it in the dramatic scene with the big bad that you guys have to take out, that's probably the place for this. I could see some other places where it would work, but you are definitely going to draw all of the focus fire from the bad guy because the only way that he or she gets it off of you is to successfully intimidate you.
Or defeat
They're coming at you. Or blow you off the face of the earth. And that's just as good, right? You test for defeat and you're done. Boom, away it goes. So, okay.
Yeah, if I say if you have the toughness to support your supremacy, then go all for
Yeah.
it. So moving on to card number three, Scourge. Play on the first round of a combat. All combatants, enemies, and allies add twice their wound penalties to melee weapons or unarmed combat damage results for the remainder of the fight. This stacks with other similar abilities. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Scourge?
I like this one a lot too. We talked a long time ago about that whole Berserker Barbarian kind of build, and there's even more powerful perks that deal with that in Tharkold with the masochism and everything. So there's fairly decent odds you can have some wounds on you. And I've had this played in my campaign a bunch of times. There would be the sort of like tank character would often be taking a couple of wounds almost on purpose, and then play this and just be unleashing horrific damage. That said, you do have to be careful, because getting those wounds obviously gets you closer to death. And it's worth noting that while this increases the damage you do, it does not get rid of the negatives that the wounds inflict themselves, like to hit.
Right, for
So
your tests.
less chance to hit, but more damage. So power attack for those who know.
Mark, your thoughts on Scourge?
Yeah, this is one I haven't seen played very often purely because it's such a you're walking the ragged edge on this one. You have to be, in order for this to be of any value to you have to take wounds. And once you start taking wounds, you're taking wounds, which is putting you closer and closer to testing for defeat. And if you're one of those characters that's got extra wounds because you built yourself that way to do it, or you're designed to it to take wounds, then yeah. But even the characters that are designed to take wounds are still walking that ragged edge because if you get blasted all of a sudden, a couple of BD start exploding on somebody's attack, and all of a sudden you have overwhelming damage, and you're out of possibilities, or you're low on possibilities, and you roll poorly on your soak, blah blah. I mean, this could be a real bad situation. So, yeah, I don't see it played very often. I'm not a big fan of this one.
I agree with both of you. This could be really good for those berserkers and the people that are built, but since this affects everybody, and enemies
Yeah.
and allies, some of your Storm Knights are just not going to get wanting to get wounded to get that extra damage to a melee or unarmed combat attack. So that's It's something, but I for those built for this, oh yeah, this could add with Berserker, add with the other. There's like two that we talked about. If you look back at our aisle, outsider perks, there's a couple of those that stack, and then other things. So it can be really cool for a character or two, but probably not for the whole.
But that's it's an edge case.
Yeah, if you're all already wounded anyway.
Yeah, and if you're wounded anyway,
why not?
Anyway,
throw it out.
So let's move on to four. Irradiated. Your character is subjected to a temporary but powerful dose of occult radiation. He suffers one wound that cannot be healed until the end of the act. Gain three possibilities. So, Jay, your thoughts on irradiated?
Well, you probably don't. I mean, this can lead to Scourged, because that gives you that wound, but it can be dangerous, but three possibilities is a lot. And if you are a mutant character who is immune to, actually gets healed by this card, then this isn't a great card. So it's like S tier for a mutant, and I would say pretty good for most. The fact that it can't be healed till the end of the act is kind of rough, yes, but three possibilities, I think, is almost worth it, personally.
That's about one and a half wounds when you're healing shock.
Yeah.
Or not, I mean, healing wounds, soaking wounds. So, Mark, your thoughts on irradiated?
So I may have misunderstood what you said, Jay, but if you're not going to take the wound, you're not getting the three possibilities from me. So if irradiated, if your character's like, I can't take damage from radiation, then you're not getting possibilities on this card because you have to suffer a wound to me. You don't just slap this card down and get three possibilities just because, well, you know, I don't take damage from radiation. Okay, then you don't get possibilities from radiation either. However, I think it's a little overbalanced because I think one wound, I think everybody and their brother would take a wound to get three possibilities. Especially if you're towards the end of the act and everybody's looking resource poor and you're looking at that nemesis card's looking real good to play on the bad guy because you're down to your one and you're like, yeah, I know it's going to give him three, but it gets me three too. Yeah, three possibilities for a wound looks real good. So I like it, but I like it from the standpoint that it specifically says dose of occult radiation. So if you're in a home game and you want to start looking for plot twists and reasons to do things and whatnot, you just gave someone a dose of magical radiation that has a very dark aspect to it. So what can you do with that from the standpoint of a realm that has demons running around and occult tech tied into, you know, dark magic and blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of hooks that this card could suddenly open up in your storytelling for a home game, I think.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty cool card. As a game master, I would make, again, which we've said on many of these cards that we've done in the past, you know, you and your table would have to decide how you would interpret this, especially with the mutants,
yeah,
that get the that they're not affected by radiation. Do you say they're not affected? Do you say, hey, you get to choose if you're affected or not? If you're affected, since this is a powerful dose of occult radiation, I'll allow you to get that wound to get these possibilities. Or are you just going to go just gain three possibilities, don't take the wound? Or like Mark said, hey, if you don't pay the price, you don't get the benefit either. So,
well, it doesn't say anything about the possibilities, but under mutation, the perk, it says, and heals one wound when the radiation cosm card is played.
Would that be,
although
maybe
this
if
is
you don't
the irradiated,
play?
So, so
well, it says it heals it when it's played. That's not like I'm playing it to take the wound, because the radiated cosm card says you can't heal it.
So say like us three were Storm Knights and Jay, you played it and took the wound and I was a mutant, then I could.
There we go.
Because you played it.
Well, the card says your character is subjected to.
Right. Again, Game Masters, you get to figure out this
table variation
of threads and try to figure out where they get your conspiracy theory back on your board behind you.
That's
and
right.
Start putting your red strings to connect your push pins. So various ways to interpret this. I'm sure you will come up with the best way for your group. So let's move on to 5. Cyberpsychosis. Play immediately when drawn. Player characters with occult tech suffer 2 shock every time a dilemma appears on the drama card for the remainder of the act. All Storm Knights with occult tech gain 2 possibilities. If no characters have occult tech, discard this card and draw a new Cosm card. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Cyberpsychosis?
Yeah, this one's fine. It's got that whole, you could discard it if nobody has occult tech, so that's good for it. Although it is characters with occult tech suffer 2 shocks that could be include enemies as well.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how some might interpret it otherwise. Oh, no, sorry. It does say player.
Player characters.
My bad. Yeah, it's all right. And I know it's going to come up, but I do like that there is a differentiation here between occult tech and cyberware. But I think there's a one later on that does it to both. So I'm fine with it only affecting occult tech personally. So yeah, this one's all right.
Mark, your thoughts on Cyberpsychosis?
This card should have been in a Cyber Papacy, in my opinion. Cyberpsychosis should have been a bigger thing. But I would play this in table variation once again. I would like to see this affect both cyberware and occult tech. And I would probably play it as both, even though, as Jay pointed out, this only says occult tech on this card. I like this card a lot because it's the flavor of cyberware and occult tech. It's fantastic. This should have been like in my opinion, Cyberpsychosis for the dilemma card. When other things happen, you roll a mishap and you're suffering from Cyberpsychosis, and now when the dilemma comes up, that's what happens to you. I mean, that would have been a great mechanic. It happens off of this card now. So, sorry, I'm choking to death on oxygen.
It'll get
I like it. It's a good card.
Yeah, I agree with Jay in that I'm glad there is a card specifically for occult tech. I wish it wasn't Cyberpsychosis, though, because mm-hmm. I would rather a Cyberpsychosis attack cyberware and occult tech. And as you said, and we'll come up a little bit later, there is a card that also affects both of them. But instead of one of the cards that gets doubled, because there's quite a few of them within Tharkold, I would have liked to have seen something like occult tech, you know, demonic occult tech or occult mm-hmm. tech surge, you know, magic surge or something like that.
Intimidating influence,
that
something.
That would have tied in specifically to an occult tech theme to only affect occult tech. Because when I hear Cyberpsychosis, cyberware, afterwards right there in it. So,
yeah,
that's what I would think about doing. But yeah, it's really cool. It's flavorful. The dilemma cards, or the dilemma on the DSR line, they come up every once in a while, so it's something that will occur, but it won't occur a lot. You gain a couple of possibilities, and then if nobody has occult tech or cyberware, if you use that variation, then you get to discard and draw a new Cosm card. So
yeah, but it's always going to be at a bad time, because you're either in a chase, or fight, or DSR, death trap.
Yeah, you're flipping
something
cards.
That's flipping drama cards. Yeah, so it's gonna be. You're not gonna like it. It's a bad time. And if you're a shock monkey, it's a bad time.
Moving on to card 6, Neil. Play at any time. For the rest of the scene, intimidation is favored. Jay, your thoughts on Neil?
I love this card. Probably just because of the picture and the fact that it's called Neil. You have to say it like that. My players have used it a lot. It's intimidation's favorite for everybody, which is a double-edged sword. A lot of threats in Tharkold have intimidation. However, a lot of groups have at least one character with a high intimidation, who will usually do far better than the threats who have it. So it usually is advantage Storm Knight's card. So I really like this.
Mark, your thoughts on Neil?
Yeah, Neil is a great card. It's a very Tharkold card. It's fantastic Tharkold flavor. And I would say, as a general rule of thumb, when Cosm cards are played that change the atmosphere of the environment, sort of like altering a world law or installing a little temporary adjustment like Neil does, where intimidation is now favored, and it's everybody, that the people, the threats know that, right? It's not a, well, how would they know that? Well, it's like, you know, if you want to describe possibility energy, you feel like you've walked into, you know, when you figure out that you're in a mixed zone or a dominant zone or a pure zone, you just feel it because you're a Storm Knight. Well, people who live in the zone can feel those kinds of things. It's a favorite, the atmosphere favors. I feel like it's a good time to be intimidating. And so that you can sense that that you're favored too. So I don't have a problem with the bad guys knowing that it's more advantageous for them to try their intimidation, even though, as Jay rightly pointed out, somebody in the Storm Knight party is going to probably be way better at intimidating. That doesn't mean that the bad guys shouldn't try, because mm-hmm. you know, dice explode, and yeah. it's more dramatic when you walk up on a thrall who suddenly, you know, he's feeling his oats and he's like, ah, I'm not gonna rah, 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 and he rolls a, you know, 48 on the die, and you're like, oh my gosh, now what do we do? And you got to come up with this big number. That's fun to me.
Yeah, I like this because there's so many things within Tharkold that trigger off of intimidation. So this mm-hmm. is a card that you'll want to play for good or for ill. As we talked about the earlier, the supremacy lasts until the opponent succeeds in intimidation against you. So this would be something that if somebody played and goes, oh yeah, I get this intimidation, it could actually really help the opponent who had that supremacy played on them. Also, there's the whole rule in Tharkold where if your band is able to intimidate the leader of another band, then you kind of put yourself higher on the dominance chain.
The dominance chain.
Type thing. So that's fun. I've talked about one of my house rules before where I use different skills for purchasing or acquiring items. Instead of just being streetwise to buy, I do a lot of different skills, and then Tharkold intimidation is a way to get what you need and want. So this would help even in a acquisition of goods. So fun card, brings out that feel in Tharkold. So let's move on to card number 7. You work for me now. Play on any ord your character has successfully intimidated. So again, triggers off intimidation. The ord becomes your lackey for the remainder of the act. So Jay, what are your thoughts for You Work for Me Now?
I really like this card as well. It's very thematic. I think I like most of the Tharkold cards, and there's a reason my group played like half of our time in Tharkold. So we've also had more cracks at most of these mm-hmm. cards than some of the others. So this has been played numerous times, and it works out really well, actually, every time. Like, they get like some lackey to let them out of the prison, or, you know, or go and find this, find it where someone else is being held, or turn off a switch. But then afterwards, sometimes they'll even take them as a follower or play a romance card on them as well, you know? So they end up kind of lasting a little bit longer and become sort of more campaign things. Sometimes they might get ripped apart by a techno demon before the end of the act, but, you know, that's how it goes. Really like this card.
Mark, your thoughts on You Work for Me Now?
This is a great card. This is a lot of Tharkold flavor in the game that in my opinion has rewards that I think every time this card has been drawn, it's been played when I've been running anything that plays with Tharkold. Because who doesn't want to suddenly have another, you know, a follower, somebody who's going to do their bidding? And it's very adversarial. It's very Tharkold, because I have to intimidate you first successfully. It doesn't say what level. It just says successfully, right? And it's got to be an Ord, so you can't play it on a possibility-rated character. Now, you could split hairs on that and say he or she does not have a reality-rated skill, but they have possibilities, which happens from time to time. Are you going to let that happen? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Technically, that's not an Ord, but it could be, because whatever. That's probably an edge case. Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't know. But that's, again, we're back to table variation. But it's I think you need to be – GMs, you need to be prepared for this to be played on – any of your named NPCs who are there as, you know, like info dumps that you're like, here's the piece of information, or I'm pointing you at the MacGuffin, or I'm a foil to get you headed in the right direction, whatever. And then all of a sudden somebody just says, I want to intimidate them. And that should be your clue that this card's coming. As soon as they want to intimidate, why do you want to intimidate? I want to intimidate them. And now you know it's coming. You should begin to work some kind of story or have stats on them, because you may have to hand a character sheet to somebody and say, okay, they're your follower now. But yeah, it's a fantastic card. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think we all have stories then of this card. this card was played in my game where the Storm Knight, as I've mentioned before, in my home game, as the Aztec Empire actually landed in Classic Torg, and I kept it in Torg Eternity, and one of my players wanted to play Torg Eternity version and use my alternate rules on the Infiniverse there, and he was kind of the leader of the group, a magic user. They go to Tharkold. He plays this card on just, you know, first fight. He has this card, and he's like, it was just some random thrall out there. The random thrall hit, took out another thrall, something like that. And then the very next round, that player character was defeated and died. And so what he immediately asked was, hey, could this guy have his moment of crisis and become a Storm Knight? And we worked that into the story. So perfect. Then he was Rexius, the Tharkold occult tech guy. So yeah, it just, but it was, you work for me now. All right, I have a lackey. Oh, wait, I'm dead. Oh, wait, I am the lackey. fun times when you can ever work stuff like that into a story organically. It's stories
that's good
that
gaming.
You have, you know, forever. So, moving on to card number 8, Enraged. And I will say that this is the same effect as the Cyber Papacy card, Rage. But Enraged, play on any character with cyberware or occult tech. She suffers an outburst of cyberpsychosis for the remainder of the scene. She adds 1 BD to damage results, but on a mishap, a random target is hit instead. Alternatively, discard this card and draw a new one. So, Jay, Enraged.
I don't actually even remember what I said about the other one, but I think it's pretty good. It gives you the option to discard it anyway. Mm-hmm. And even if you have cyberware or occult tech, you'd be like, nah, I'm not about that. and then get cyberpsychosis. Yeah, it's all right. It's good that it works on both. We already talked about
our previous episode under a different name.
Yeah.
Mark, Enraged.
Yeah, it is what it is. For the rest of the scene, you're just kind of a pissed off cyborg. I lament that cyberpsychosis is not a mechanic and it's just in the Cosm cards. And I'll say that every time we bring up a card that's got cyberpsychosis in the description or the name or whatever, because I do. It was a thing, and it was a risk that you took. Then the more you built on, now it's just it happens. Whatever. Okay. But again, it is a card that's going to get played if you have, it should get played. If you have cyberware and someone else draws it, you should not be upset if someone plays this on you, because they have just given you an additional BD of damage. Roll well.
And then if you hit them, you can't complain.
then they yeah, they don't get to complain if you randomly hit them when your mishap happens, which is just desserts. But yeah, it's we already talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it. My story was the party that loves to throw traps on each other decided not to do this for some reason because they balance the one BD versus the mishap, and normally they don't care. But this time they did for whatever reason, so it's kind of the same thing. I would love this card played on me if I was a melee, either a cult tech or a cyber person. It'd be like, hopefully you have some second chances out there. So let's move on to number...
Hey, before you do, one question.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs to me, if I have cyberware, like Bellevue,
mm-hmm.
CyberEye, and I get this played on me and I'm a shooter... It doesn't say it has to be melee. It just says you get an extra BD of damage.
Yeah. You shoot better.
That's correct.
I'm just much more accurate yeah. than I was before.
And I think we might have... That sounds familiar. We might have talked about that.
With Did we?
The rage.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the same thing. It says damage, so it could be that your eye or whatever is going better. And even if you had an eye and you used a sword... You just go berserk-ish.
So you're just better.
You're just better at what you're focused. Whatever you want
to call My it. Vav razor wings make yes. me able to shoot better.
Number 9, salvage. Make a charisma or streetwise test. Gain an item of that battle, or sorry, of that value or less. This item is found in the runes, traded from black market, etc. So J, salvage.
First thing I want to mention is that the drime mm-hmm. that he's holding up there is like probably the most messed up thing in the whole Tharkov book.
And there's some messed up stuff in it.
Yeah. I like this card. I don't know, I don't know if I would personally just limit it to streetwise. Part of me would also like want find, but then so many people have high find that it's kind of a gimme then. But yeah, overall, I like this one. It's a very good one. And I think it behooves the GM to explain it a little bit more. My half of my group played extensively Cyberpunk 2020 back in the day. Like anytime something involves the black market, we basically fully RP it out. They'll have to find a fixer to get this stuff from. We'll have to describe what the club looks like or the bombed out shelter that they're operating out of or whatever, so it becomes an entirely new encounter, not just hey there's this hey look a box of grenades. In the Nile Empire, sure, but in Tharkov they gotta go through something to get it, but they will get it.
So Mark, salvage.
I might get a little free with this card. The charisma, I don't really... I get the charisma if you're going to just charm somebody out of it. Nobody has streetwise. But, this is more... The title of the card is Salvage. And since I tend to put a Mad Max spin on Tharkold versus other aspects of it, I can absolutely see how the box of grenades is in Tharkold versus, not just Nile Empire kind of thing. I might open up the skill aspect of this card based on what I determine I want to do with it, because it's kind of open-ended, right? It says it's found in the ruins, traded from the black market, etc. So you're letting them make this test like you do a requisition, and then they generate a value number, and you go find in the list, you start looking at things that are up to that value and say, what did they find? And they might, help guide you with, well, what are you looking for? What would you like to find? And that guides you along the lines of, well, they wanted explosives and they couldn't find, C9, but maybe they got a little bit of C4, or maybe they got the box of grenades, whatever. Or they met a contact who, kind of opens up the coat and says, you want to buy a watch or whatever they're looking for.
What are you buying?
What are you buying? What are you selling? and that would change the skill you might use. You might use persuasion. You might use intimidation. You might use streetwise. You might use something else. I mean, come up, be creative. But it's a salvage thing that generates an item that they're looking for, and it could be found just lying under something that the scrappers have missed because it's in a secret compartment. Blah blah blah. However you want to do it. I would say that just play the card, make it all make sense.
Yeah, I agree. And I just have to, I don't even know if anybody would, it definitely dating myself when you're like, do you want to buy a, I was thinking, oh, do you want to buy an O? They're round and neat. It's a Sesame Street 70s thing. But salvage, yeah, I would definitely open this up more because it's very similar to, say, the Delphi support, which actually can sometimes give you a bonus. And I always think Cosm cards should be better than Destiny cards for the most part. So I would open it up probably like you said, Mark. I would say, what are you looking for? And if somebody's like, I want a vehicle part, I would say, okay, now roll me a land vehicles plus mined. Or, I would just create what something out and do it based off that. And then, they find a junker off in the distance or something that fits Tharkhold. But good card, even with it just being by the base card, you still get something for free. So
Yeah.
that's always a benefit. Moving on to the last Cosm card for today, Torturous Visions. Play immediately when drawn. The party experiences psychic flashes of grim potential futures for the rest of the act. If fatigue appears on the conflict line, the characters are also stymied, and psionicists are very stymied. All Storm Knights gain one possibility or two if they have the psionics perk. So, Jay, your thoughts on Torturous Visions?
So my group that played in Tharkold a lot did have, of course, have a psionicist in it. And this card got played a lot because they had to. And they whined incessantly about it every single time it happened. The payoff is not very good, and the damage it does to you is really rough. And because it's stymied and very stymied, what it effectively kind of does is just makes combats take longer. Right, like it just means you start you're whiffing and you're just slap fighting a little bit more. So yeah, I like the theme behind it, but I think it's a little bit too oppressive.
Mark, your thoughts on Torturous Visions?
Here's a shocker. I disagree with Jay. I love this card. This is a fantastic card. This is potentially my favorite card in the Tharkold deck. You need to be GMs, you need to be prepared with multiple series of visions that you give out to your players, because when you're flipping fatigue, when fatigue comes up on the card, when the effect occurs, and I got a question for Liam and Jay about that in just a second. When that effect occurs, I give them, I stop you have a headache, this flash, and I give them their vision that occurs right then, and then continue on with the thing. And don't even stop to explain. Don't let them ask questions. You hit them with the vision, and then you go right back to combat, and you keep going, and then they have to sort it out. And that kind of simulates that whole, oh my gosh, and you're stymied because of the headache and this, that, and the other. I love that the psionicists, who are the guys that are out there foreshadowing, doing all that other stuff with the deck or whatever, just absolutely, they get two possibilities, but they get very stymied.
Mark has a
Friggin'
lot of
great card.
people who love stacking the deck.
Oh yeah. Oh, they do. They get in there and just
And then the
moving in
poor
like, ah,
Kinesis guy still
screw
suffers.
you guys. This card is great. I wish this kind of thing were in all the Cosm decks. But anyway, so here's my question to you guys about this. This says that if fatigue appears on the conflict line, so when do you do the torturous vision? Do you flip the card and say, oh, look, fatigue, torturous vision, everybody is now stymied just because you flip the card over? Doesn't matter if it's hero first, villain first. Or do you do it only when the heroes go and then the fatigue happens and then they get the torturous vision and then they get stymied or very stymied? Or third category, do they have to take the fatigue to get it to happen? Like, as Lehman said, I get leadership guys all the time, like in our Wednesday night stream, Alecto is out there and like, nope, we're not going to take that one. You know, and so he uses his leadership abilities to eliminate the effect on the hero's side. So if a leader goes in and eliminates the fatigue, does he also eliminate the torturous vision? I have my opinions, but I want to hear what you guys think about that.
So, Jay, did you have thoughts on all of
that? Oh, well, I was going to double check the fatigue situation, but because I know we looked this up before.
Sure, and we'll look it up again.
You take it at the end of your turn.
It's supposed to be at the end of the turn.
At the end of your turn, yeah. But yeah, the way it's worded sounds like it's when it appears on it. So I would do it as soon as the card is flipped once it's resolved. So I would allow a leader to get rid of it because that is kind of like an interrupt ability. Right, to get rid of it, and then the card resolves, then we see, okay, it's on there, and this triggers. So that's how I would interpret it.
So the leader gets rid of the fatigue, but the torturous vision still happens?
No, I would still say the torturous vision happens when the card is revealed. It doesn't have to wait until the end of the player's turn, like when the fatigue resolves. But personally, I would allow a leader to remove it, and it would no longer count as being on the card. It's as if the card was blank, right?
Okay, so you would not afflict them with the torturous visions,
yeah,
if
never
the leader
fatigued.
Removed fatigue. Okay.
Correct.
So how I would do this is a bit different. Personally, and I know this is a house rule, I have anything on the conflict line happen at the beginning of that turn. Otherwise, I'm going to forget it. If I'm going to see fatigue on that drama card, I'm going to forget that the party needs to fatigue by the end. And I don't make it necessarily be something that occurred that round. It could have occurred the previous round. It could have, if it's on the first round, it could have occurred prior to it that just made them a little tired. So it's like hero's turn, says fatigue, everybody takes their fatigue. That's my house rule, so I don't forget it as a game master. For this, when it's flipped over, what I would do is I would say, okay, you have visions. And then in the course of the game, I would just say, oh, you remember something about that vision. Because I would probably, being lazy game master, when I prep, which is close to zero prep when I go in, then I would, you know, then I could come up with as we go. And then when, say, idea cards are needed or something else, you know, when fine tests or certain things, I would probably throw in possibilities or, you know, then start sprinkling the visions. Although, Mark, I do like your aspect of the when the fatigue comes and the stymied and very stymied, you give them the visions, yeah, at sprinkle them along at those times. That makes sense. It's just for me, I'm lazy and I don't prep or do minimum prepping, so I would have to put those out as needed. For
yeah, but see, that's easy because you already go ahead
for the perks and stuff that get rid of fatigue. Does it get rid of it on the conflict line as if it was never there, or is it just they ignore it? I would have to look at those specific perks. Jay might be doing that. Because sometimes they might say yes, and sometimes they might say no, especially at the beginning when they can't do it for just becoming very vulnerable. They have to actually spend possibilities. And then I personally wouldn't want to have you have to have this fatigue trigger three times to get the possibilities or not. So as soon as they did the card, I would give them the possibilities, and then I would sprinkle those visions along during the adventure to help them, which this does. The card actually doesn't say. It just says that they have visions. So I could see some game masters, even lazier than me, would just say, oh, you have psychic flashes of grim potential futures, and then never talk about what they were during the entire act. I think that would make the card worse, it would make it worth less. It would be a worse card than giving them hints and clues and stuff like that. I would probably allow if the person's going to put themselves vulnerable or put themselves That I wouldn't take away the possibilities, because I read it as you gain the possibilities to begin with, and mm-hmm. I would allow them to eliminate those stymied or very stymied, because again, you have to go through a series of perks to get it to where you're just becoming, I think it's vulnerable or very vulnerable. Having to cancel it fatigue the, for a possibility is kind of harsh.
Bolster says it completely negates the conflict line for his side.
Right. So negating and removing the word, that's where I would say each table would have to come up with.
See, from my perspective, I would, as soon as this is, it's play immediately. So it's the beginning of the act, right, most likely, or someone's attuned and pulled it up and boom, it's on the table now. I'm handing out possibilities. I'm just right then, boom, you get your possibilities. But I'm going to, when fatigue appears on the conflict line, because this is an extraneous event that's circulating, regardless of whether the leader takes the fatigue off or not, I'm still doing torturous visions. Because it just says, as Jay pointed out, it just says appears on the conflict line. It doesn't say affects the players. It just says appears. And that's that. To me, that's just like a, we need a mechanical thing that tells us when the visions happen. Well, this is when the visions happen. And it's always in a high stress environment, right? Because you're turning drama cards over. You're in a, you know, again, like the other one, you're in a chase, you're in a DSR, you're in combat, whatever. I like the idea. I think it's very easy for a game master, even, as you pointed out, even a lazy one, to be able to give those visions out, because you know what your adventure is. Mm-hmm. You've had to, you may not have done any prep, but you've at least read the especially when we play online, you've had to read the adventure and built something in Roll20 or your virtual tabletop to be able to run the adventure. So you know what's coming. You can pepper in some images or some hints or whatever. And to me, this is a fantastic catch-all tool that the GM can use. If your players are stuck and they're having problems in or out of combat, trigger torturous visions. Yeah, I know it says when fatigue appears, but if they're absolutely running up a brick wall, they can't figure out whether they're supposed to turn left, right, go straight or down to find the next phase of your mission, trigger torturous visions and give them the stymied, very stymied, for the rest of the scene or until you go into combat. Because if you're out of combat and you give them this, then they've got the headache came up, a nosebleed, whatever, and that's going to affect all of their roles to interact with people, whatever. But when combat kicks off, take that away, because it's going to happen when fatigue shows up. So you don't want to have them have it, because fatigue never showed up when you start the combat. Fatigue will come up, you'll be all right, do it again, and then they get another hint, right, and you can connect the dots. But you know what's coming up in the adventure, and so you can drop in those, you know, the next scene. Give them something that comes out of the next scene. You're going to get in a taxi cab. You know they're going to be going to a club, and they have to get there somehow. And so now you've decided they're taking a taxi cab because you gave them torturous visions. Yeah.
They are grim futures. So show them crashing and getting killed.
You're in Tharkold. You're in Tharkold. Future in Tharkold is all grim. Always.
When in doubt, just give them a vision of them burning.
I'm still in Tharkold. That's grim. So, yeah.
I would say game masters, depending on you and your group, you know, again, figure out what the triggers are, what that is. But I would highly encourage you use these to help the players, even if you're giving them bad visions of torture and death and taking wounds to go into cur and stuff like that. But then the stymied and very stymied aren't quite as bad, along with the one or two possibilities. If you don't use the torturous visions, then it kind of flips it and makes it a sucky card.
I agree, but I love it for that fact, because it's great. It's if you do it right, if you give them the right visions because you're in Tharkold, it's a great Tharkold flavor card to me, because it's got the psionic thing going on along with the grim, dark future of whatever. And it doesn't have to be a written in stone future. Like, you show them, then you know they're going to face the boss.
I hope not.
You know they're going to face the boss. Well, give them a vision of what, describe, don't tell them who it is, but describe the boss standing over them with a bloody whatever.
Yeah. That they just, I think the flavor and the,
as you feel your life really force good. Ebbing away. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen here?
What was that, Jay?
I think the visions and the flavor, like that part, is all very good, and I agree. Yeah, you should. I actually like the way you're saying, yeah, give them a little bit more, you know, every time fatigue comes up. It's just that the mechanical hindrance is rough.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's why.
No argument. Yeah, absolutely. But it's supposed to be. That's what you ought to give
when
them
it's
a
mixed
good
with
hint.
The play immediately part.
You know? Yeah. But give them a good hint that actually helps them when they, you know, they paid for it because they had to. They're going to burn resources to overcome the stymied and very stymied because to do what they do because that's how it works, right? But give them a hint to advance their mission and they'll feel like they earned it, if
and
you will.
I will say. As a lazy game master, last Friday, I asked the players, because the regular schedule that we had for Torg Fridays was changed a little, so I'm going through Blood on the Blasted Lands right now with that group, and not everybody was to play, so I did, and that's normally in person, but the house that we meet at, they were the ones out for that week, so I was like, okay, let's do it online. And in 30 minutes I looked at one of the one act adventures from Cyber Papacy. I just looked at what threats were needed and made sure that those threats were in Roll 20, and then we played the book without me having ever read that mission. So there are those times where
go.
I will game and have no clue what's going on.
Run it cold.
Run it absolute cold. And it was a blast. It was also one of those where the big bad demon, you know, appears in Cyber Papacy and they one-shot it because it rolled a one to soak.
Oh, I hate that.
It was
That's
another
bad
one of
news.
Those where I was just like, yeah, okay. I've dealt with this before, so let's just move along. But yeah, Tharkold, fun cards, flavorful. And next episode, we will get into 11 through 20. So thank you very much for listening and or watching. Again, you can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com. Send us your questions. We'll answer them to the best of our ability. Send us your comments and we will comment back. And until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmverse. Bye.